Hi, I'm Miriam Micah Day, and you're listening to North of 40, where we tackle conversations around death, rebirth, soul-shifting experiences, and how to embrace our human condition when life throws you curveballs. In 2016, I was in my darkest place. I began to slowly wake up. I knew that I needed something to find, to hold on to, something that could help me keep my feet on the ground. I found a book. It's called The Magic by Rhonda Byrne. The magic helped me to remember that even in my lowest points in life, that there was something to hold on to, something to be grateful for. And in the midst of the storm, there was always something around me to remind me of who I was, to reimagine a new life. This was my time to start over. Today, my sister and friend, Maya Stojan, talks to me about that journey. We take a deep and kinetic look around the idea of gratitude. This is a wonderful conversation about the magic. Maya and I met in an acting class in Los Angeles, and we became really fast friends. One day she came over to my home, and we got to talking about things that we wanted to see happen in our life, how we wanted to see change happen, just really moving toward the goals, the dreams that we both had. And she suggested that I read this book called The Magic. The magic really changed her life. She even told me about a rock that she would carry around, which was really kind of crazy. So I was like, okay, whatever she's doing, I must try to do it too. I mean, she's working, she's an actress, you know, let me just try it. So here we are.
Here we are.
Yes, my friend. Tell me about The Magic. How did you come to finding this book? What happened?
Well, first of all, I love that you mentioned me carrying a rock around. I think at this point, a lot of my friends and family think I'm a little cuckoo because I've done 50 rounds of The Magic, the book. And I found it at a time in my life where I think I needed it the most. It's interesting that it happened the same way for you, where you felt like you really needed this tool. And I was about 25, and I felt like my life really wasn't going anywhere, and I was suffering from a lot of anxiety, and my OCD was really bad at that point. And I had a very estranged relationship with my father, which I wanted to fix. I just didn't know how after all these years of not talking. And I guess I must have put something out in the universe to attract the magic to me, but this book really came at the right time. And I did one round, and right away I saw incredible changes. I always thought of myself as a very grateful person, but after doing the magic for one round, I was like, I was not grateful at all. Sure, I said thank you every now and then, and that felt like me being grateful, but I wasn't practicing gratitude.
And I just want to let the audience know kind of the birth of the magic, like what the theme is essentially, which is the laws of attraction. So for those of you out there who don't know, the law of attraction is basically the belief that positive or negative thoughts bring about positive or negative experiences. And having the magic kind of be the buffer or this like this stepping stone to figuring out how to bring good things to you, the magic teaches you about being in gratitude, being grateful for the things that have happened to you, being grateful for waking up in the morning, being grateful for your health, just a daily practice of remembering the things that are making you function in life and how to bring those good things to you by practicing gratitude, right?
Very well said. Yes, that is exactly what it is. And every day you wake up, you write down 10 things that you're grateful for, and then each day ongoing, you get an extra practice. So it can be, you know, a practice on being grateful for your health or for the money that you receive, the people in your life. And it's just a wonderful experience. For my 50th round, I had all my friends do a round with me and my mom. And that was incredible because they finally understood. They were like, whoa, we get why you keep doing this practice over and over again. It just takes dedication and commitment, because it is a practice that you have to have time to put in. And
and just like exercising, you know, or just like learning a new skill, practicing gratitude is not easy, right? So the more you practice it, the more you do the rounds, the more you get through. It's a 28-day exercise. The more you do it, the better you become. And the easier your brain will be able to shift to be able to accept and be grateful for those things that are in your life. Wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. And people think sometimes, you know, well, if I do this practice, I, you know, and I do feel like it's a bit of a brainwash. I am brainwashed to now, as soon as something bad happens to me, I immediately go to, wow, I'm so grateful that happened, because, you know, there's always a reason why things happen to you in life. And you can choose to bring yourself down with it and just be like, woe is me. I just had a car accident. This sucks. And, you know, where's my life at? But instead, you can just be like, oh, I had a car accident. Well, I guess I needed to fix my car anyway. Or there's always a reason to be grateful in each and every situation. Even when you feel like you're hitting rock bottom.
Yeah. So for people who probably think this probably is BS, right? So we're talking about this philosophical idea of moving in the world. And yeah. So let me give some examples. So Maya had just given me the book. I was taking a trip to New York. And on my way back from New York to L.A., I left my laptop in the backseat pocket of the chair in front of me. Yes, I did. Went all the way home to West Hollywood. Computer is still in the airport. And so I got frantic. I was crazy. I called United, like, somebody find my computer. They couldn't find it. So a couple of things were happening in my favor. One, I was in first class, so there was only six people in first class, so they would have found it somehow, some way. Second, I had just finished The Magic. I had just finished the book The Magic.
Wow.
So I started chanting, I am grateful for the person who is going to return my computer to me. And I just kept saying that over and over for 2 days, 2 days straight. I got a call from United. We found your computer. Now, the computer went from New York to L.A., where I left it, L.A. to Mexico.
Stop it.
Yes. Mexico to, I think, Canada, and then back to New York City, where my mom had to go to JFK to pick it up.
Wow.
Yes.
You know, I mean, that's what the magic does. I have about 100 stories like that that have happened to me. And just by practicing gratitude, things have come my way.
There's a shift that happens. And so by changing the thought process in my mind of, I'm never going to get my computer back, it turned to, I'm getting my computer back. And it's going to come back the way that I left it. It was not a scratch on it. No one was able to get my file. It was amazing. So I know for me, the magic works. There was something you said that I like to go back to. You said the magic came to you at a time where you knew you wanted to have a better relationship with your father.
Ooh, yeah.
And I want to talk about, like, the whatever that trauma was, whatever that life event was that said to you, yes, the magic will help me to fix or solve or repair this thing.
Yeah, there's so much love between my dad and I. We just didn't really have a relationship for a good 10 to 15 years. And it wasn't, you know, because my parents were divorced. My parents are very much in love and happy together. It's just my dad and I went through a few situations that just, you know, made us not talk to each other, basically. And at 25, I realized, wow, my father had me at 40, 41, and he's getting older, and I realized, wow, I really don't know this person, and it made me very sad, and I used the magic on my relationship with my father, and it didn't happen overnight, but after maybe 4 or 5 rounds of doing the magic and realizing all the reasons why I was thankful for my father, it's not like I reached out to my father or expressed anything to him. Our relationship just magically, I don't know how else to say it, but it magically transformed itself. We were able to send emails to each other, and just actually 3 years ago, so I was maybe 2 years in the magic, and I told him for the first time that I loved him over FaceTime. And it was terrifying to do, but it remains one of the best days of my life.
And I think that this is something very important that you're sharing, because while we're talking about the outside action of being grateful, what the magic is doing is teaching us on the inside how to change the molecules in our lives, ourselves, to be in a space of rest. And what I mean by that is, it's not that you're changing the situation, but you're changing yourself. You're
yes.
allowing yourself to grow and mature and expand in love, right?
Absolutely.
I think the magic taught me that although I want to work on this situation, for example, I used the magic to kind of mature me in my relationship with my husband while he was alive.
Mm-hmm.
And what I realized that it wasn't my husband who was the person who was making things difficult in our marriage. It was the opportunity for me to change the way that I looked at what the situations were, what the circumstances were. And it was my new perspective that changed the way that he and I interacted with each other. He didn't do anything. He was still the same person.
Yep.
You know, he was still, you know, learning the lessons that he needed to learn. But by doing the magic, it allowed me to shift in a way. And
Absolutely.
Being able to shift, you are able to bring in the love and all those other things that you've been looking for outside of yourself.
It's so easy to blame other people
mm-hmm.
in all situations, really, or blame the outside world, not even just people, and not really take a look at oneself. And the magic kind of forces you to dive deep and just realize also in all the ways in which you haven't been grateful in the past and why you've come to a place of where you're at. You know, I never realized all the amazing things that my father did for me until I practiced the magic. And then it was so clear. And yeah, it can really transform relationships, you know, and it's so easy to fall into the trap of again, going back to feeling ungrateful. I know in my relationships with men, it's my go-to, blaming other people or because I don't want to take a look at my side. Of
yeah,
know.
Because we're perfect.
Exactly. Exactly. So the magic is really just I need it. I know that I need it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I go back to living a life that I don't want to live.
Yeah. And I don't want to have that constant role in my mind of negativity. Like, this is a thing that really mm-hmm. is helping me shift the way that I think. Just shifting the neurons in my brain. I know that sounds really kooky, but it really does happen. You know, it really does happen.
Absolutely.
So we both experienced some death and tragedy in our lives. You know, North of 40 kind of became and was birthed out of this experience of losing my husband at a very early age, at the age of 40. And what I realized was that this was not something that was happening to me. This was something that was happening for me.
Yes.
And, you know, being grateful to be able to, even though my husband is not here, still being able to eat, still being able to pay bills, still being able to take care of my daughter. I want to know for you, how has this exercise changed your perspective on whether it's life or death or even just how you look at being grateful? Like, how do you become grateful in these tragic moments? Like, what do you think about that?
The magic keeps me in the present. And I feel it in my life. I've had so many moments, and sometimes I see months go by and I have no idea where that one month went, because I'm just always focused on the next thing that I'm doing and I'm not living in the moment. And whenever I'm in the practice of gratitude, it's just, it forces you into the moment, because it forces you to see every situation that's happening in front of you. Like, just right now, I'm just grateful to be here sitting with you. And you know, I think that's where it shifted. And also losing my friend, my dear friend, on New Year's, it forced me to believe that, yeah, I don't know when my time is up. And am I gonna just keep living my life, you know, as if nothing? Or am I gonna really take each moment and enjoy them, because it may just be my last day.
Yeah. You know, I have a funny story. So my husband died. Everybody knows that. And we were dealing with his funeral and making arrangements. And I'd say we buried him on a Saturday. So the Tuesday before, I met with the florist, the guy who was going to get the flowers, make sure we looked all nice and beautiful. I'm into flowers. I'm a Libra. And he says that he needs a certain dollar amount in order to get the flowers and make the arrangements, et cetera. And rather than giving him a deposit, I just thought, let me just give him all the money. So that's one thing off my list to do. So the funeral comes and I notice that there's no flowers. There's no flowers. Where's the flowers? I gave this man $1,000. Where are the flowers? So, you know, of course, I have all the things I'm thinking about. Grieving is one of them. And I'm noticing the flowers. But that's okay. So my friend who's kind of helping me coordinate the day texts me while we're on our way to put my husband in the ground. And I say, because I'm a control freak and a producer, where were the flowers? Because I need the flowers.
Sure.
And he's like, yeah, we'll have to talk about that later. And I'm like, no, I kind of want to talk about it now. I'm like about to put my husband in the ground. We're in the what do you call those things? The limousine.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, on our way to the cemetery. And he's like, no, I can't tell you right now. I said, no, you're going to tell me. And so this is over text. And he says, the flower guy, yeah, he died.
No.
The flower man died the Thursday before we put my husband in the ground on that Saturday. Dead. Like, dead. He died. And
wow.
Yeah. And so in that moment, I was upset. But then I thought about it later and I was like, what a blessing it was that I was able to pay him the money that he needed. Because I'm sure his family used that money to help get him in the ground. So it's all about the perspective and just being okay with knowing that you're still a vessel, right? The gratitude has taught me how to be a vessel and not fight it. Because it's very easy to, in this situation, especially feel like somebody did something to me. How come I can't get my money back? Where are the flowers?
Right.
You know, you could turn it into that, or you could turn it into, okay, that happened, and it happened for a reason, and I was the person that they needed, for whatever reason,
sure,
to assist his family in getting him to where he needed to go.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
What a great story. And also, I think you point out an important point is the magic doesn't turn you into a robot. I'm by no means am I like this magic queen.
Right.
I still get very angry. I still get very sad, and I still get all the range of emotions, but I allow myself to feel, and then when I'm ready, I turn it around.
Yeah.
It's whenever you have that ready moment.
Right.
And
right.
It'll come automatically because I'm brainwashed into gratitude. But I still am human. And I think, you know, you were still human in that moment thinking, God damn it, I paid for those flowers.
Where are those flowers? I know I got some good flowers. You know, but it's also a thing of you have to laugh, too. Like, you can't take yourself so seriously that you don't find the humor in those things. Like, first of all, him dying was like, I can't believe this is really happening to me, but okay, so this is happening. Like, this is happening right now. And so those moments of levity also comes in when life is throwing you a curveball.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah. So the magic is not a quick fix. It's not a pill.
No.
It's not like, you know, the Matrix where you take the red or the blue. It's a thing of evolution. It helps you change over time. And over time, I think you become more clear about who you are, the direction you want to go, and how to pull the right energy into your life.
Yeah.
I want to talk a little bit about some of the tactile things in terms of the practice. So you mentioned the rock earlier.
There is the rock.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit.
The rock is great. I've had my same rock for 6 years, and I just let go of it on my 50th round in Australia.
Mm.
And it felt really good. And
just so you know, guys, the rock is essentially...
Yeah, so let me explain. Well,
oh,
no,
I'm sorry.
Please actually explain it, but
Maya, please do.
No.
I want you to explain, please.
Are you sure?
I'm so positive.
So the rock is a magic tool that you get to use before going to bed. And you get to look at all the things that have happened throughout the day and decide on what the best thing was that day. So it forces you kind of to look back at the whole day you just had and be grateful for that one best thing that happened. And I think that's a really awesome tool because it just, first of all, the energy that your rock gets, right? Tell me about your rock. Now that I've cut you off, tell me about your rock.
You know, I love the rock. So the rock comes very early on in the practice, right? Maybe the second day.
Second day.
And the rock for me was an anchor because it helped me to ground myself at the end of my day to be able to take accounting of what happened to me that day. Mm. Also, the rock is a very personal thing because you actually go looking for it. Like, this is a contract. This rock is going to be my rock. Rock, are you coming with me? Yes, I'm coming with you. And it becomes your friend. It becomes the accountability tool that you'll use throughout the 28 days, right? So my rock is a very small rock that I can hold in the palm of my hand. It has black speckles on it.
Oh, I kind of want to see it now.
It's very smooth. And you're right. I think that what it was when I first got it to where it is now, the energy that you pour into it, I think it can get up and walk on its own. Like, if I left it alone, like, it's like its own person.
Yeah.
Because you pour so much love and intention. I think the intention is the thing that transforms it and makes it like a real thing, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, I love my rock. I found a new rock now, so I'm starting over. It was weird letting go of one, but I felt it was time, and so now I've got a new rock.
Yeah.
And I'm dating this new rock. And it's actually, I'm on day two. I'm on my magic rock day practice today.
Oh.
Interestingly enough.
And see, everything works as it's supposed to.
Yep. Nice.
Okay, so we have the rock. There are other exercises that I don't want to spoil it for everyone. I actually want people to go out and get the magic and see what it can do for them.
Sure.
And I like to kind of transition to something that I feel is in the same vein, but I want you to tell us more. I want to learn more about transcendental meditation.
Ooh, TM. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, TM it's interesting. It came into my life a year before I found the magic. I think or maybe it was 2 years. And it really, that transformed my life in a different way where it's so great for the creative mind. I think it really opens up something in your brain and in your soul, and that just makes you see things a different way and be more creative. And for me, the biggest thing that happened was self-love.
Mm.
With TM, because you're taking 20 minutes in the morning and then 20 minutes in the afternoon just for yourself and to check in with yourself. And that's huge. Not a lot of people take the time to do that. And it just, it helped me also with my anxiety. And I think that's also where I started seeing, like, wow, I really do want to help myself and become a better person. And poof, the magic just showed up.
Right. I think everything leads to the next, right?
Yes.
With the magic, a moment ago, we talked about not being in the moment, not enjoying the moment, not taking stock of what we're doing right now, always worried about the future, always thinking about what happened before. Those things are irrelevant because they're not here. The moment now is here. And when you said this idea of, because I haven't practiced this yet and I'm really interested in learning more about it, taking time to check in with yourself twice a day.
Yeah, like, it's a lot.
Does that? Nobody does that. Nobody makes the time. We're in our cars, we're driving, everybody has road rage. Like, to be able to consciously make the choice to put yourself first and have that self-love is, like, incredible, right?
It's huge. I never took that much time for myself. And now just imagine. So it's 20 minutes of TM in the morning. Then it's another 20 minutes of gratitude listing. So I have to wake up super early. And then in the afternoons, you talk about, you know, being in traffic and all that. I often meditate that 20 minutes in the afternoon in my car because it's like a vessel and you're just like in your bubble. So it's definitely doable. And, you know, as we talked about, we like to pack our days with one thing after the next, a meeting after the next. But you can schedule in that 20 minutes as a meeting with yourself.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's funny. I used to work in advertising, and whenever I wanted time where I didn't want someone to, like, you know, invite themselves onto my calendar for a meeting, I would just block it out, like, you know, just blocking out the time. So yeah. I think I'm going to start blocking out my time 20 minutes. Like, that's genius. And I don't know why. I don't know why I don't even do it in the first place. Like, that's something that we should be doing anyway.
Yes. Well, it's like in another magic practice book. It's not a magic practice book, but it's The Artist Way. Have you heard of it?
Of course, yes.
So taking yourself on a date, you know, people think I'm such a weirdo because I go to the movie theaters by myself or I eat, you know, have dinner by myself all the time. And I just now enjoy my company. It's by choice that I do it. And I think it's so important because, you know, you're born alone, you die alone. Whether you're in a relationship or not, my mom's been, you know, married to my dad for 35 years, and she's always taught us that just, you know, it doesn't matter who you're with.
Yes.
You are stuck with yourself at the end of the day.
You know, I said this to someone the other day, and she was like, I'm going to write that down. No matter where you go, there you are.
Mm-hmm.
No matter where you go, there you are.
Yep.
Can't run from it.
Mm-mm.
You know, and that's why I choose to work on myself, because I can't run from. I wish I could sometimes. Sometimes I wish I could. But what is that going to do, right? I want to be a better person for my kid, you know, so that's why we do these kinds of self-loves. I want to be a better person for myself, right? So, you know, there, wherever you go, there you are.
There you are.
Right?
Yes.
Right? Okay, so we talked about the laws of attraction. We talked about the magic. We're going to talk more about transcendental meditation. But the question becomes, now that we have all of these tools, what are you doing every day? What are you doing every day? Just like, for example, you're out in the street, you're interfacing with possibly a lover, a friend. Do you do any chanting meditation in your mind to send good energy so that that day or that meeting goes well? How do you, I want to be able to share with our listeners how to, not just the actual meditation itself, but how do we actually practice it in the day today?
Wow. Yeah. So every day before I leave the house, I hold on to my magic rock and I go through all the plans throughout my day and I give thanks for them going extremely well.
Yeah.
And before an audition, for instance, I always say, thank you for the magnificent outcome to this audition. And I do want to share something and open up about something, because as actors, we don't talk about the competition that we might feel with one another. And it's something that's so taboo. And because, of course, we want to be happy for our friends. But, you know, when someone books a job, you're immediately thinking, why not me? Because you want it so bad. And it's natural. It's normal.
Right.
It's a normal feeling. I'm sure, you know, some people might have thoughts like that about me. When I book a job, they see it on social media and they think, good for her, you know, but I wish, you know, I wish this was me.
Right.
And I think what's really helped me, because I suffered from that, from feeling like, oh, you know, especially in times of when I'm not working, I just, you know, you feel like everyone around you is doing so well.
Yeah.
You really do.
Yeah.
And instead of feeling that way, I started practicing gratitude on those people that were doing amazingly well. And I did that, and it changed my life. I started doing that 5 years ago. And whoever I was feeling envious of, I started practicing gratitude on them and being so thankful for their success. And that, in turn, brought me so much more abundance of work that it became a natural thing. At first, it was very forced. I'm not going to lie. It felt very forced being grateful for this person's success when all I wanted was to rip it from them and take it from myself.
I've been there, honey. Yeah.
But it can really just, and even just seeing a stunning woman on the streets or in an audition and just feeling like, ooh, I feel, because I suffer from insecurity. I've always been fairly insecure with myself. And
meanwhile, this woman is drop-dead gorgeous, but
well,
okay.
Oh, please.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I will take it. But, you know, and that's the thing. It's how can I help myself?
Yeah.
It's really by giving thanks for their beauty and for, like, appreciating it, as opposed to feeling, you know, threatened by it.
I'm so, so glad you brought that up, because I, too, have been the person on the side of envy. And I'm not a jealous person by nature. That's just not who I am, really. But I want it so bad that it becomes a thing. Mm-hmm. There's a very good friend of mine who I've known way before any of this stuff has ever happened. She was a lawyer, as a matter of fact. She will probably be listening to this. I love you, girl. And she made the jump to acting. And when she made her jump, she really took off. And I have been working and toiling and doing this thing for a while. And she really did well. And at first, I was like, because, you know, social media, you know, that makes you... It makes you crazy.
Oh, I look like my life's perfect.
Oh, honey, yeah, don't even worry about it. I'm like the Queen of England on my social media. And I had to unfollow her on Facebook because I couldn't take it.
Yeah.
I couldn't take it. And then, oh, it got even better. And then she started working more and more. She was up for a part that I was up for. She got it. Like, it became a thing. And then I said to myself, Miriam, you're doing it wrong. Mm-hmm. You can actually learn from her. This is a learning opportunity for one, to take the green out. Green is not your color. Take Mm-mm. that green out. Two, if she is successful, then that means you're successful. You're in the same circle
exactly.
of these people. That means that there is not only something for you to learn, you're just as good, maybe even better. You are in the same circle, so there's nothing that you need to take away from her or vice versa.
Absolutely.
And then, too, I began to meet with her and talk to her. What do you know? Tell me how this has worked for you. How has this helped you grow? All the questions that I needed to be answered to help my career, I could get from her. So it's all about perspective, right? I had the same exact initial reaction until I had to figure out how to shift my thinking.
Yeah, and then the big realization when you realize you are who you spend your time with. You are the five people that are closest to you. You know, and it also helps when you when you're right now, I'm in the process of dating again. I went through a few breakups in the last few years that set me forward. I was going to say set me back, but they set me forward into now I'm a lot clearer as to what I want. But, you know, it's so important to see who their friends are.
Yes.
Because that's going to tell you so much about them. I look at my friend, my ex, and he's a wonderful person, my latest ex. And just looking at his friendships, I'm like, oh, that doesn't match with who I am and mm-hmm. who I want to be and mm-hmm. where I want to rise. Do you know what I mean? And that's huge. Like, I want to be with someone who also decides to surround themselves with people that are successful. And success doesn't necessarily mean are floating in money, but that
have the same ideology as you,
exactly.
has the same gumption, has the same get up and go.
Yes,
I recently, actually, I'm trimming the fat in my life. I'm trimming the fat. And everything you're saying is such a confirmation for what I'm experiencing in my life right now. And I'm so grateful to you, Maya, for that. I looked at my friend's circle and I was like, okay, I don't know if these people are the reflections that I want to project in my own life for myself right now. And not that I don't love them, but I need to take a break. I need to move in a direction that I see myself being. I need to surround myself with the level and the echelon of people that I aspire to.
100%.
And that is the thing where I thank you for the time that we spent together. Now I'm moving in this direction.
Yes.
And that is the magic to me. That is the magic.
Absolutely. And you know, when you practice gratitude every day and you do those kinds of, or you do TM and you, or you're practicing positivity, negativity will stand out like no one's business. All of a sudden you will hear this friend that you've been friends with for 10 years, and all of a sudden you'll realize, oh my gosh, they are so negative. And you would have never realized before.
Never.
But all of a sudden mm-hmm. it sticks out like a sore thumb.
Yeah, it stinks. It actually smells.
Yes.
Like, and you are repulsed by it. You want to get away from it, right?
Yeah, 100%.
It's true. It's like, it's a thing. And the more you practice, the more you hone that skill, that radar, the sensor is so sharp that you won't, I'm going to assume that you won't even be attracted to that in the first place.
No.
You know?
Well, at your lowest of low, you will meet the lowest of low. Mm-hmm. And I think that's happened to me at times where misery loves company.
Crabs in a barrel.
And then, you know, you just got to get out. You just got to find a way out. Sometimes it'll happen for you.
Yeah.
And
and sometimes you just magically wake up. Like, I think I just had like an alarm clock that just went off on January 1st, 2019. Like, it just went up the front. And it just, like, the whole thing just changed. So, yeah, that's good. That's good stuff.
Yeah.
I want to talk about your activism. Like, this is very important to me because I think, call me crazy, but I think that because of who you are and how you shifted in your thought process, you have been able to open up your heart to do this amazing work. Tell us more about
where
we can find you doing the work and the good work that you're doing.
Well, it's so funny. I think my mom was the first one to call me an activist, and I always thought, like, wow, that is such a cool title that I never thought of myself as. But yeah, I think I've always done work with the homeless community. Back home, back in Hartford, Connecticut, where I lived for 4 years, and then now in L.A., it happened very quickly as I moved out here. And the Midnight Mission is a place where I spend a lot of my time at, and it's on Skid Row. Mm. And I started off doing art with a mission there, so, you know, drawing, painting, and bringing even poetry to the Midnight Mission, and it was just amazing just seeing, you know, people that are living on the streets come to this sanctuary and just be able to be creative.
Mm-hmm.
That was really amazing. And then just a couple years ago at this point, I went through the hardest breakup and I felt really sorry for myself. And I knew that I just had to do something to, you know, propel me forward. And I know for a fact that being of service is the best medicine. My mom always said, help a person a day and your life will be good.
Yeah.
And I've always carried that around. Just even if I'm not being of service in the homeless community, it's like, help a person. Yeah. Whoever you can find to help, just be of service. And so I went down to the Midnight Mission and I said, how can I help? And they had just opened up this women's center. Mm. And it's really amazing all that they do. It's a rehab center, first and foremost. So people get clean there. People get jobs, all kinds of things. They just do such a wonderful job. And I started teaching stretching and movement class. And so because I thought, what would be the most helpful thing that I can offer,
right?
Because, you know, I don't know. Sometimes I'm like, what do I have to offer? I don't know, mm-hmm. but I'll figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hugely I really believe that being in your body is half the battle.
Yes
you know,
yes
and
yes,
people don't take care of their bodies enough. Mm-mm. And mind and body goes hand in hand.
And
right?
Also, let's just talk about for a second, you know, these people are homeless and maybe being in their body is not a priority for them at this moment.
No, absolutely.
Like, they have other things they have to like focus on that are more pressing. So the gift of being able to give them a moment to stretch.
No,
like,
I know.
Come on.
Thank you. And it's funny because at first, you know, when I first started this, I would get one or two clients. And I always thought, well, I'm just helping one or two people. Now when I go, and I try to go, you know, as much as I can, and I now get 30 clients that come. And I just, when I see these people transform, when I see the transition from them being on the streets to getting clean to finding jobs to, you know, all of a sudden getting crazy opportunities for themselves, it's just such a wonderful transformation. It's so beautiful. And I talk a lot about gratitude in, because we, you know, I do guided meditations with them. And I really feel like I'm doing good. And it's the most selfish thing you can do for yourself. I always say that. It is because it forces you into the realm of gratitude when you see how people are living.
Yes.
You know,
I want to piggyback off of that. You know, I have not had an opportunity to help the homeless, but I did have an opportunity to go to Africa. And I talk about that in an earlier podcast. And what I learned about going to Lagos in Nigeria specifically is that we Americans have everything. We have everything that we could ever want. We have access to the basic needs, our basic needs, basic health care, clean air, water. And so when I went to this place and saw that diesel is in the air, children are running around with no shoes, people have various levels of poverty or various levels of existence. And not to paint the picture that all of Africa is this way, but this one particular place that I went to was a real mind opener for me. And it helped me to recognize, similar to what you're saying, is that we have so many things, so much to be able to give, to be able to share with other people. It doesn't have to be a material thing. It could just be an experience like stretching, like listening, walking, anything that can be exchanged to another human being. I think the human touch and experience and just expanding our humanity as people is what the magic is about. It's what we should be about here on this earth. It's about connecting. It's about bringing us together. And I'm just applauding you because, unlike many people, some don't understand that it's just a simple hour out of their day to touch other people's lives, to be grateful for it, and move on to the next moment.
You're so beautiful. I love that you mention Africa. It's my favorite continent.
Yes.
And I think I was very blessed at a very young age that my parents loved to travel. And we traveled really all over the world. And we would go to third world countries and help out. And I think it's so important, even at a young age, or maybe wherever you're at in your life, travel, see the world, see what's out there, because you will not want to live your life the same way. It's so true.
Yeah, it changed everything. It changed everything for me.
When you see starving children in the middle of nowhere, not even on the streets, but in the middle of nowhere.
Underneath the cloud, the blanket of the sky, the only light you have is the stars and the moon. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
You know, and you shift. If you don't shift, then I think that there may be something a little... But, you know, goats walking in the street, like, it just really changed the way, and it also reignited this idea of gratitude for me when I did that excursion to the continent.
100%.
100%.
Mm-hmm.
My sister Maya, I want to wrap up asking you one more question. If you were to give anyone anything, any idea, any kind of imparting any type of wisdom, using the thought of gratitude, magic, or just what you're feeling inside, I think it's important for us to kind of end with a parting gift, if you will. What would that be? What would that thought be?
My first instinct went to listen. Just listen to the signs around you, to the people around you. We all listen to then reply, to respond. We don't listen to understand. And I'm the first culprit. I'm looking back now at all my relationships with men where all I want is to retort back with an answer and with my defense. And now I understand things a little differently. And there's so much to be said about listening. And not just in the people that are around you, but listen to yourself, and the answers will come.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you so much, Maya.
Thank you. I'm so grateful to be here.
Oh my goodness. I
love
it.
You're so delicious and wonderful.
I'll take that. We'll take that. Thank you. Yes. This is Maria Micah Day, and you've been listening to North of 40.